Thank you, thank you. So yeah, I'm just going to introduce quickly my panel. So Marisa, if you want to join from Cognizant. AJ, please have a seat. AJ from Coronis Health.
Yeah.
Maxime from Wesco Distribution. Subu from BD. Ken, Pega, and please also Tony from Worksoft. Have a seat. Excellent. So we're not going to be talking too much about ChatGPT, generative AI. probably a bit, yeah. We can't not talk about it. But this session really is about talking about the automation side of what we call the autonomous enterprise and the role that automation has to play in the autonomous enterprise. And automation is not everything. Yeah, autonomous doesn't mean I have a high degree of automation so that I'm autonomous. I think it's a lot of other things must change across the enterprise. We're gonna see a bit those 10 core areas that we have defined. But yeah, I mean, if we go back to really the autonomous enterprise, what is it? I think we feel touch base this morning. Ultimately, really, it's about delivering data at speed that will drive success with minimum manual intervention that will prevent really the progress. That's a very big definition. I think we need to keep it quite big. But the philosophy really behind that is data is the strategy. I think we're going to keep saying that data is the strategy. The process is the method of getting the data at speed. Automation is really how much you can automate those process interactions so that you become a bit more autonomous. And AI is the refinement. Is the refinement of your automation, is the refinement on what kind of insight you can get from your data. But really, you can't jump on the AI without having thought about your data, the way you move your data, and the way also you automate that data. I know that some enterprise leader we interviewed in our latest study called that Datamation. So it's ultimately about automating the speed of gathering, analyzing, taking decision, implementing an action that will really drive ultimately this kind of autonomous state. And yeah, ultimately the big goal of an autonomous enterprise is what? Is the more we can internally drive this kind of efficiency, well, the more we can look outside. We can really look across our ecosystem, improve the ecosystem so that we even get better. Yeah, but it's not only about thinking about ourselves and saying we've reached a goal. I think it's about pretty much to remove yourself from all these day-to-day internal activities and look outside and really build that kind of ecosystem that all enterprises need nowadays. Quick one slide really summarizing the study we recently published last month. You see the autonomous enterprise wheel. These are the principles, the six principles. I'm not going to go through them again. But when you look really around how you operationalize those principles, and the study we did highlighted then key areas that need to evolve so that you create this kind of autonomous enterprise. It's not only one area when you can go really at speed and have amazing maturity level, so AI guided, let's say, around data management, but ignore the rest. I think those 10 component or core areas need to evolve simultaneously to start moving ahead on the maturity level curves, yeah? And I think about maturity level, each of these 10 core components go through that maturity. Take decision management. If you look at human-led, all decision within a process interaction are taken manually. You rely on a human. The human is not there on holiday. You can't do anything anymore, yeah? So then you move to automated. That's why we have those binary deterministic decision engine baked in the automation. If it's A, do action B, but these are very deterministic decision by nature. You can move also to an AI-guided decision, expert rule engine, decision engine, way more powerful than a deterministic type of rule. This is already probabilistic by nature. That will allow you even more to take those cognitive decisions that can be also handled to a machine when possible. Not all decisions. I think we've touched base on the human still need to be here. But this is how one component, for example, move across these maturity level. Mm-hmm. Self-optimize, I would say it's, in addition to really internal data, you start looking outside. How to understand external changes, bring them back into the enterprise, and then recalibrate potentially some of those core areas. So self-optimizing, I think it's the holy grail of getting there. I think not many people are there in those functions, but this is really the 10 key areas that these leaders have highlighted as core area, and they need to evolve at the same pace. You can see control and quality assurance, that's probably one core area that doesn't evolve quite fast. And you can have the best process automation possible if your risk and compliance function still operate and test their controls like before, you can't really get the data at speed. So you come back to, I'm stuck because my risk and compliance function are not really evolving at the same path as all those other areas. I invite you to have a look at the study. We publish it, I think it's in a freemium, so you can have access to it, but it will very much detail what's behind those 10 core areas across those maturity level. So now let's really move into the action, yeah? So automation, AI obviously play a big role, yeah? As strategic enablers toward this autonomous enterprise, but it's not all. So Marissa, I mean, let's start with you. What role really do you see automation and AI playing on this journey towards the autonomous enterprise?
Yeah, absolutely. I think they're going to be really the enablers because it's what's getting people excited. It's starting to bring people together. Most of these technologies tend to start in the IT function. One of the things about automation, which has really gotten all the hype, is that it also got the business involved, and it keeps bringing the business and IT teams closer and closer together, where you're really going to start to see in job descriptions a fusion of both, I think across both of them. I actually think back to a quote you actually had at HFS where automation was the gateway drug to all things AI. And I still think that is extremely true. And you're going to need to be able to infuse it and automation into a process. But exactly the point you made, Ralph, AI has to refine it. Because automation alone, asking someone alone to describe every rule, every option, every exception, it's just too difficult. There's too much out there and there's too much data available. We're going to need that refinement with AI. So I think it's going to be the enabler, if not the gateway, into the autonomous enterprise.
Oh, thank you. AJ, I mean, you come from service provider side a lot now. In Coronis Health enterprise side, you've seen a lot.
Yeah.
Come on, share a few ideas.
Well, I think clearly it's going to play a key role, and it has to play a key role. And I agree with Marissa that, you know, the strength of what's happened in the last 10 years at least is that the business has really driven some of this drive towards certain types of automation. I think the problem that you continue to run into is how well have those programs been executed? Have they been treated like projects instead of programs? I know that there's still a lot of surveys who say people aren't necessarily satisfied with the outcomes that they've gotten from their automation initiatives. So if you're not satisfied with what you've done today, how prepared are you to move to the next thing? But as soon as the next new hot thing comes out, everyone wants to do it. So I think they're key. I think what organizations have to do, and I think organizations of a certain size, mid-level and smaller, have to really focus in certain areas, probably more than being able to handle all 10 that you've highlighted there. Mm. But I think you can't, you obviously can't get to the autonomous enterprise unless you've found a way to master some of these technologies.
Perfect. Maxime.
Maybe to look at it from a slightly different angle. When I think about autonomous enterprise, I think there are three pillars that it has to stand on. One of that is traditional IT, changing the project, transforming the processes to the autonomous enterprise cannot be done with traditional IT, modernizing the ERPs, modernizing the underpinning system. The second pillar is probably automation, where it comes to expanding to the areas that cannot be addressed by traditional IT. One of the biggest things in our company is wholesale distribution, all the supply chain crisis, that's our world. We see that we can do a lot within our four walls, but whenever we get to our partners, our customers, our suppliers, we see that there is different level of readiness. Some of them have API calls, CDI calls, and just about everything else. Others, well, they're still a little bit in the stone ages of technology. That's where automation can play a tremendous role to bypass those barriers and get into autonomous enterprise without every player of that enterprise ready to be autonomous. And then the third pillar is probably citizen development. That touches the change management, the sort of bridging the automation where it's just a little bit too small for traditional automation technologies, but just right for the citizen development. And it's all underpinned by unified governance, unified vision, unified drive to that autonomous enterprise, which is definitely the key. And that's where AI comes into play. I think AI is an integral part of all of those three pillars, whether it's predictive analytics, whether it's descriptive analytics, whether it's causal, whatever it is, maybe it's ChatGPT, but at the end of the day, all of those things is what we need in order to get to autonomous enterprise.
I mean, Subbu, I know that you, part of your role, it's about automation, AI, data. What's the magic formula here to,
right.
to get there?
To the earlier point, automation is definitely bridging the gap between business and IT, where the traditional IT is being looked at very differently now because there are very quick wins that we can provide to the business rather than running a large multi-year enterprise transformation programs, right? Like say an SAP upgrades or ERP upgrades takes a very long time. Automation is definitely seen as a kind of a quick win item. What can we do in the interim while we are performing a kind of a lengthy upgrade program or something like that? And also from a medtech industry perspective, something like complaints handling or a med device complaints regulations is a very, very manual activity. Automation plays a very significant role in automating some of these routine activities, especially very much compliant with the regulatory authorities. That is a significant role that we are seeing within BD. And also to Max's earlier point about the citizen-led development, the entire culture within the organization is about like, what can I do to enhance the processes? What can I do to kind of improve our existing business processes? It's the kind of a mindset shift that we are seeing within the organization.
Oh, thank you. I mean, Ken, from Pega, I mean, I know that obviously you are driving this autonomous enterprise vision in Pega as a tech platform. What's the importance of really this? I mean, how the automation and AI plays? Is it both together, one after the other? What's your construct really at Pega?
So automation's been around for so long, as you know. Like, there's nothing new about automation in and of itself. I think the thing that's powerful about the combination with the AI, which we're seeing with our clients, is, you know, first you've got that mode of understanding better, right? You can understand if your processes are running the way they should and are they effective and where can I make improvements and that kind of thing. That's just an enhancement capability. I think where AI really has the powerful role with these technologies to get to autonomous is the oversight. It can provide this new way of looking at what's happening with your processes, adapting them when it sees patterns, adapting to different conditions, all these kinds of things that AI is really good at. And when you think about that, the thing that's exciting about that is I can move beyond kind of like the people watching my processes and get into how can I innovate and how can I drive better processes? How do I interact with my clients more effectively? You know, next best action is not all that new either. But when you think about how AI kind of powers that, you have this new ability to really understand both what your client wants and then give it to them at the point that they're interested in. So when you start thinking about those kinds of use cases, that's really where, you know, the two shine together in a really powerful way.
I mean, Tony, want to jump in? I know.
Yeah, so very similar to Ken, really. So, you know, both Pega and WorkSoftware both used to large scale automation, both in pre-production and production. Over the last 18 months or so, we saw a big shift into process intelligence and really around understanding your data and your process today. Surprising how many organizations don't really understand how far they've drifted away from their ideal state. So they built their BPM models. They think they have this straight line between A to B. And when, of course, when you actually go and see what's going on, you've got some great tools now. You've got, you know, process mining, which will give you the machine layer. And where we've been focusing is on the human layer. So, you know, what are your humans doing? And where AI can play is that correlation of data, bringing all these things together to really enhance your picture of what the process is, where the data is, what's really happening, and start to look at what the variations are so you can start to look for efficiencies. And some of that can be QA. You know, I'm going to make what I've got better. I know where to go, how to prioritize, but also I've got opportunities for efficiency so I can see either what's automated, what's not, or where I've got multiple variants of something, where should I focus? And so that's where I would start off with this.
Perfect. Thank you. Yeah, so let's move to the question two, yeah, which is the reality check, yeah. So automation clearly is a key enabler, yeah, and we need to do automation properly. And this is a stat that we got from the latest study we run. And all those leaders that have been part of the study self-rated themselves as 70% self-rated themselves as automation beginner. Despite the amazing advancement, yeah, I mean, technology is everywhere. Investment, huge investment gone through that. And still yet, we don't really see these big return investment that they were expecting. Marisa, you have a...
I definitely have...
I know your opinion on that, but...
I know you know my opinion on this. We've talked about it.
So what's the key reason you see? I mean, obviously a service provider. Why these initiatives have not really given everything that we expected from the beginning?
Yeah? Yeah, and actually as a service provider, and even when I started, I was a practitioner on the other side of the fence. And I think the same problem really hasn't changed, unfortunately, is that automation's been looked at as a technology play. It's like any other traditional ERP, SAP, Oracle, we're going to implement, we're going to put it in, we're going to test, we're going to develop, we're going to build, we're going to have a factory. That's not really what this is going to be if you want to get the benefits out of it. You're going to have to think about how do we actually reimagine how this process works. The process may be working today one way because we have people doing it, but when you apply technology to it, it doesn't have to work that way. For example, it could also go to the back end. It doesn't have to pull every report. You can actually go to maybe if you have a data lake and pull directly from it. But I think the biggest issue here too is not just the process piece that we have to really challenge ourselves to work differently, but we have to bring people along this journey. So much time is spent on how do I deploy? How do I upgrade? How do I put in this team? It really has to be about how do we educate, make more aware, empower, and make comfortable people to be digital creators within their organization. And that goes far beyond automation and repetitive tasks. That is really getting into the meat and core of the operations of a company. And then thinking about how do you continue now to level up those employees and now ingrain it into also how do you hire? How do you think of upskilling? How do you think of career pathing for them? And I think that's one of the biggest challenges why people still feel like they're just getting started and probably not feeling the value they want yet either.
AJ, your view on that one?
Yeah, well, I think some of it is just the speed of change at some level too. I've been back on this side of the table for about 4.5 months now, and I get 25 to 30 emails a week pitching me somebody's AI-powered whatever it might be, right? I think just about the time, whether it's real or not, just about the time you think you've made certain gains in what you're doing, all of a sudden there's something new and you feel behind again. And so I think there's a tremendous feeling of pressure in a lot of organizations to try to keep up with the, we'll call it the technology arms game, I guess, at this point. You know, I can remember when we first started playing with RPA. It was after my boss had come back from one of Phil's events, and there was some conversation going on about RPA, and he says, AJ, we need to look at this, and hectored me for months until I finally got him what he wanted. So I think that there's a lot of pressure to try to keep up. I think expectations may not have been set correctly. You've probably seen this a ton.
Yeah, definitely.
Expectations are not necessarily set correctly when they start out. And so they're left feeling wanting. And now they feel like, okay, I'm behind again. And now I've got to move on to the next thing.
Yeah. And Maxime, your view on that, specifically around scalability. Yeah? I mean, you've deployed this large program.
Yeah, I also got to give it back to Phil and you for a lot of input. When we started, it really helped us. And I think the statistics, we're going back to 2018, 2019, was exactly the same. 70% failed to scale. And if there is one learning that we picked up over the years from VSCO experience is that you cannot come to the business and say, hey, I'm here to automate you. I'm here to replace you with robots, right? That's never going to work. For one thing, robots are not ready for it. For another thing, people are not exactly ready to give up their jobs. So finding the right tone, finding the right structure where you actually change the paradigm, you go to folks and say, hey, I want to help you out to be successful. What can I do? That's been our gateway to get there. And I frankly think a lot of companies who are stuck in the beginner stages, not to say struggling, is really all about being able to make that shift and also figuring out a way to engage the employee level. It's pretty easy to sell the program to the executives, right? To come in and say, hey, I'm going to give you back this many hours, this many FTEs, this many dollars, whatever the metric you want to use. And it usually works, right? But coming to the employees and say, I'm going to reduce your team by that many FTEs is a different proposition. So again, for us, the recipe has been citizen development. And I know there's a lot of reluctance to go there. And I think that reluctance and holding back and not being able to get the people to provide you the pipeline is what really slows it down. I mean, ultimately, the automation is all about having a robust pipeline and robust tools to execute, where a lot of folks around me come into play as a helpful hands to get us execute.
Yeah. Subbu, you want to jump in?
Yeah, I can see two reasons. One from a process perspective, like taking a process-first approach. We have a tendency to kind of jump into automation as soon as kind of a problem statement is presented. And also data is always an afterthought, right? Like you implement the process and then think about where to place the data and then think about how to automate. That kind of a process, data, and an automation mindset shift should happen. Say for something like automating claims for a particular distributor or a particular hospital network could be very different from different entities. You need to streamline the process and then think about automation. The other reason, which I think could be on the tail end of the automation of the value and realization part, one bot is never going to be one FTE. It is going to be a 0.5 FTE, 0.2 FTE. There is a lot of education required on the value realization part to restack and reorganize the organization after implementing an automation solution. I think there is a lot of effort required there.
Ken, obviously, you have a big automation platform. How do clients really get the most out of really what their assets they get? Because sometimes I see the asset is there, it's the frustration not using it properly or the asset not being resilient enough to scale. I mean, what's your view on really why so many automation beginners, yeah?
Yeah, I would say the large part of it is not even related to the tooling. It's really partly what Marissa was saying about reimagining your processes, because if you don't do that, then a lot of the value you don't get. But I would also say organizationally, there are a lot of challenges. So you have silos, people own their app, yeah. Right? No. They don't care about the app of the guy next door or on that side. They only care about their stuff. And so what you get into a lot of times is, even if you've got innovators who really reimagine their processes, you need to move it down stack to everything that touches to really see full value, right? And so these end-to-end process optimizations, they're not simple. You know, it usually involves a lot of different people. But the thing that's exciting is when you get either a center of excellence or just a team of people who really want to innovate and build the business better, they will not only be able to bring that together, but do it in a way that's innovative, rethinks the process, and then leverages the AI in a great way. If you do that, not only do you see real value, but more importantly, you kind of break down all those silos, right? Mm-hmm. You get across everything, and then that allows you to innovate into other business areas. So the one other thing I would put on this, which is a little bit side category, but it's important, is I think where we see actual innovation in companies is they're able to do what I just talked about, but then they start looking at what's the next area I can focus in. And sometimes that's not their traditional business. It's some side business or some other thing they never thought of before because they never had the channel to do it. But now that they've opened up that channel, they can open up new revenue channels and all that kind of thing for them. So when you can get it done, it's very powerful.
Yeah.
But the reason many companies don't is they've got their kind of little fiefdoms and it's challenging. So.
Tony, your view on that?
Yeah, so don't sit me next to Ken next time. look, I think just to build on what pretty much everyone has said here, if the way that I think about it, I think this is really a leadership challenge. And putting a vision on the organization about the opportunity that exists for an organization. And when I see things fail is because, you know, CEOs or, you know, senior people in an organization don't drive the potential of what's about to happen. I think the other piece that gets missing is, you know, we all manage change, right? So change management is core of what we do. We help organizations with change. what organizations don't do very well is the management of change.
Right.
So what happens is that if you do get a leader who can drive a vision down, can take it all the way down through the organization, and then follow it up with the appropriate both tooling, language, communication that allows a automation process project to go ahead. I think the other thing that gets missing is I think there's way too many big bang opportunities that just get out there. And what they really need to do is they need to prove it. Prove it, keep proving it, show value, get people on side. And it's a very simple thing, but actually it gets missed a lot of the time. Mm. Most organizations we talk to, they really are in the, what are we doing today? Because we don't really understand what we're doing today. And can you help me understand what that is? And they miss that piece out as well. And so you need to start from a solid foundation of data, understanding what you already do. And from there, with a great vision behind it, you've got a chance of success. Without it, you get stops and starts and miss expectation, disappointment.
Thank you. And then obviously this brings us to the next question.
Okay, before you jump to this one, it kind of builds into this one too for you.
Yeah.
I think the other thing, Tony, just to kind of build on as well with what you were saying is, and I think Ken kind of as well, is taking the time to actually invest in it too. Because you guys both brought up the POCs. And we know that the technology works. I always hear about these proof of concepts still and proof of value. I can understand a little bit more, but we do know it works. But you have to invest in the change management piece of it too. You have to invest in putting in a governance so this thing can actually run day two once you start getting past your first couple automations or even dashboards, whatever it is that you're starting to put into your organization. I see a lot of companies making the mistake, and I think it's some of the hype, AJ, you mentioned early on about this is super fast. You could do it all in a week and save, I don't know, $20 million in 2 days. We all know that's not reality. But I also see a lot of companies making the mistake of thinking, how cheaply can I do this and hopefully still get those results that I want?
Well, and we talked about not the effort to implement some of this technology not being the same as an ERP. I would argue it needs to be very similar. Mm-hmm. And because of the speed of execution, because of the speed of outcome that's capable, people want to move through it very quickly without doing the fundamentals that you would do for any other significant technology investment in your organization. And so, you know, when we talk about things like governance, you know, you'll have people roll their eyes. Okay, I've got one more governance board I've got to be a part of, right? So I've got to be a governance board for RPA, and I got to be on one for data, and I got to be on one for this, that, and the other. So I think that in a certain way, the ease of implementation and the ease of execution has worked against certain of these technologies because they're not being treated, I believe, with the seriousness that they deserve to be believed. And that means you've got to be willing to make that investment like you make in implementing a larger stack of some kind.
Yeah, I mean, Maxim, what's your view, obviously, in this question? Technology, we all know that it's a core component, but what else? Apart from the tech, it needs to drastically evolve.
Well, I think a lot of that has been said already and completely agreeing with that. It's all about having the vision, right? You have to have a vision where you want to get to in order to get there. And if that vision includes business agility, autonomous enterprise, whatever you want to call it, part of that vision is governance. How do we get there? I've seen quite a lot of instances where there is a big fight between IT and automation. We don't do that. We basically set up the governance roles and said, this is one bucket, this is another. Takes 5 seconds to determine which one it goes to. And by the way, this is neither. This is process improvement. That gives you the third bucket to say, do not automate as is. Or let's look at the bigger project and understand what we're really trying to do before we put the money into automating something that's not worth having in the first place. It's about that type of governance, which is not just command and control. It's also common sense of when do we involve what technology? And biggest part of that it's also a byproduct of governance a lot of times, is the change management, where part of the governance is how do we going to drive the organization through the change? And ideally, how do we put organization into the driving seat of the change so they help us to drive the technology where they want to be, as opposite to us trying to pull the organization forward? Those are the big pillars.
Yeah, and so, I mean, always talking about the change management aspect, easier said than done. How did you drive that change?
No, I think all of the automation programs, it has to be driven both top-down and bottoms-up approach. Right now, it is either or in the industry, whether IT driving the program or business driving the program. There is no kind of top-down or bottoms-up approach connecting with each other. That is a, I think that will be another enabler for automation programs to scale. And also from a, we talked about it, like having a process first approach without having that kind of, okay, I'm going to look at this end-to-end processes, or whether it is order to cash or procure to pay. Having an enterprise map view of all of our processes and having a automation opportunity identification kind of an end-to-end enterprise view is not there today. We all, most of the organizations kind of deploy automations wherever possible and end up becoming band-aids at the end of the day. So having that enterprise view of what is my overall opportunity for the organization and having that outlook will definitely help this accelerate better.
Ken, jump in here.
That was a perfect setup, thank you. So for anybody who kind of follows the technology areas of automation, one of the things that's really the most challenging right now is that there is so much of it, right? There's RPA, there's task mining, there's process mining, there's eventing, there's like so many bits of technology that are really needing to work together in orchestration to make autonomous reality, right? And then on top of that, you need the intelligence running on top of it, the AI, to understand everything across the whole stack. Because if you don't, every place where that's kind of not unified, you lose something, right? And sometimes that's understanding your customer. Other times it's understanding how the process runs seasonally. Like, it's all those kinds of things that are typical of, you know, kind of loss of those connections. And so, you know, what I would say is there's a lot of technology out there. Making sure that what you're looking at unifies those things and doesn't just become another problem, because as you guys were talking about, if I implement 50 different technologies to bring together one capability, it's challenging. It's challenging to maintain that stack, to have the intelligence across. And so I think what I would say is, you know, your fastest speed to kind of getting to autonomous is knowing that you will have that intelligence layer that's running across everything that helps you really have the understanding and see how it's actually working, as we were talking about before, as you, you know, move into it. Because nobody goes from zero to autonomous in a day, right? Yeah. You step into it and you become more and more autonomous. And just like we were talking about with, you know, the generative AI earlier, it gets better and better and better as you tweak it. But the real point is that you don't want to start from zero, because if you're literally building that whole stack, that's complex, it's hard to do, and hard to make it work together well.
Yeah, I think just to get to the second point of that, of the question here, I think it's people. The technology piece, I mean, to Marissa's point earlier, it works. I mean, we are at a maturity point. Most of us, you know, been using ML in our stack for 10 years, you know, and, you know, been managing products for that long, and, you know, basic ML has just been getting better and better and better. So I think we're in pretty good shape from a technology perspective. I do think that the, you know, the people inside organizations who are consuming the automation, I do think that there is a necessary shift in mindset. And I think, again, leadership, I agree with you, you know, bottom up and top down. But I think there is a fundamental shift in the way that we think about automation, its enhancing value, the increasing point for the human being to be able to get into high value task. I don't think we sell that enough, and I think we do a better job of that. I also think on the service provider side, I think there's a huge gap right now for automation engineers, particularly people who understand how to use AI in that space. And, you know, the projects that we end up with, there is always a gap around helping people get off base zero, right? And it's because automation engineers don't really exist in the quantities we need them. So we talked about, you know, is AI going to replace all these jobs? Well, let me tell you, there are tens of thousands of automation engineers who are going to be needed and don't exist today. And so that's a great opportunity for people to get something really interesting, to get to know a business, to start getting to end-to-end processes. I think there's a lot there, but it does mean that we have to really upskill ourselves and evolve.
Yeah, thank you. Which leads us to question four. So we talk about traditional automation, traditional AI, but we need to bring a non-traditional one, So this whole generative AI ecosystem that is being created, what we call the LLMization wave. Everything is LLM, industry specific, on cloud, at the edge, you name it. Will this really bring us closer to the autonomous enterprise? People, individual, being much more autonomous, leveraging those kind of things, and maybe the sum of autonomous individual create an autonomous enterprise, who knows? But how is it gonna help? I mean, maybe Marisa, you wanna start?
Sure, I'm happy to start. And you had to get one in, didn't you, on the AI and generative AI chat. I do think it's going to help bring us closer. I'm not quite sure it's going to happen overnight like many are predicting, because as we move it into organizations, they're applying things like the controls, the firewalls, all the restrictions as you move it into a lot of these ecosystems that do have, you know, PII, they have PCI, there's risky data. You have things like life sciences, reworking clinical data. So there's a lot of things that do have to be considered. But we do know that employees are craving that instant information. They're craving for things to be given to them faster, to be able to enable them quicker. I mean, we've been at this automation thing for how long, and you still go into an organization and employees are complaining about having to pull 10 different files and reports and reconcile them manually. It still exists today. So I do think this is going to be an enabler. I think it has to come into the organization. But I do think that the pace may not be exactly what we think when it comes to some of these industries. I think they're going to have to really think about how are they going to adopt it and how are they going to manage that risk and reward balance within the company. And also, I think the employees, especially those that are really diving into this in their own personal lives, are going to be the ones that push it forward, honestly, because they're going to push the boundaries. They're going to ask, why not? Why can't we do this faster? And I think it's going to also make everyone start to question things so that they can enable it. So I do think it's going to be an enabler. I think it just may take a little more time than we're thinking.
Yeah. AJ?
What she said.
Is LLM, LLM going to solve all your problems?
There's nothing that's going to solve all my problems, Ralph. I think it is. So I've often referred to myself as the hopeful skeptic, right? I walk into things with a certain amount of skepticism, but hopeful that whatever is being said is possible ends up being possible. And it normally does, maybe just not in the time frame that the hype says it's going to be at. I absolutely think this is going to be a significant change in the way enterprises do their work. Is it ready for prime time tomorrow? No, I don't think so. I think there are still too many concerns over it. And it has less to do with the technology and more to do with what people do with it. Are people going to have the discipline to do those cross-checks? Are they going to have the discipline to verify the veracity of the information that comes out of it? Are they going to have the discipline, or are they just going to speed forward with their heads down because I have a new toy and I want to go fast? I think the potential is absolutely there. It all depends on what we do with that potential.
Maxime, discuss that. You have a view on that.
with the same approach of the optimistic skepticism or skepticism optimism, whichever way you want to turn it. When I think of an org structure, right, you have the top, and at the top you could generate a lot. We are really going to benefit as our tool stack seems to be within the office applications, within the things where it really can shine today. As we go down the org to the people who work continuously within the ERP systems, or do the manual labor, or do anything else, I'm becoming a little bit more skeptical, I think, again, coming from supply chain background. The causal AI, the predictive analytics, the prescriptive analytics is going to make tremendously more to autonomous enterprise than large language models. But I remain optimistic as far as the capacity of that technology to transform a lot of things that we do.
Subbu, your view?
Maybe I have a different view here. I'm very optimistic that this is going to definitely transform. I can give you an example. Like a year ago, we kind of deployed a automated email solution for our customer service for complaints handling. Mm-hmm. Med device industry receive a lot of complaints from the hospital network. We tinkered with a lot of infrastructure with Kubernetes clusters, full stack Python programmers to kind of write thousands of codes to understand the context behind the email and classify the email as order status or complaints or product availability. Fast forward 1 year down the line, we get this entire program for free using a ChatGPT model, right? Like with the OpenAI model, all I'm doing is with Power Apps and Power Automate, I'm just integrating a GPT model, and I don't have to go through a lot of this tinkering in the infrastructure, and I see an immediate value here. And so does several other infrastructures and everything that we provisioned in the other business operations and functions can be leveraging GPT models going forward. We see some opportunity, but to the earlier point, there is a people factor involved here. How are we going to work with these technologies? How are we going to organize ourselves to consume these technology?
Yeah.
That is something that needs a lot of discussion.
No, thank you. Ken, I know that, I mean, I've seen in Pega how you're starting using generative AI. I mean, is it going to be a core component of the platform? Do you see customers asking for more?
So, you know, it's funny because depending on what you're listening to today, generative is going to replace all development, right? I mean, that's what all the media stuff is saying. We are using generative AI largely in an assistive way, right? So the reality of generative is it's fantastic at doing things as help. You know, when you want to generate a data model, you want to generate test data, you want to do all these kinds of things in the development process, it's fantastic for that. I think also as you're using AI and you identify things that are happening, it can absolutely generate, you know, solutions. Say, you know, here's where you should focus on this process that's not working well, or those kinds of things, leveraging the data you already have. And so we're very enthusiastic about it. It's a very strong enabler, and it's going to be the kind of thing that helps everybody do better and get autonomous faster. I think the thing that is not real today, and this is the one that, you know, is being hyped so much, is it doesn't do everything for you, right? Yeah. Even if you can describe it beautifully, it's not going to build the application for you fully. So we'll probably get there at some point, but that's not where it is today. And I think the exciting thing about leveraging generative AI within, you know, an automation or autonomous journey is you can get there much faster.
Yeah. Tony, closing on that, because we have 0 minutes.
Zero.
Can you do it in 0 minutes?
Just like, I think from our perspective, the answer is yes.
Yeah.
I think there are many use cases where it's going to be incredibly useful. I think we talked about support earlier. I think onboarding, training, L&D. I think there's the whole coding. I think there's no code particularly. The bit that I'm actually interested in is the cognitive stuff that's coming down the line.
Yeah.
I was on Twitter earlier. I read Jan's stuff and Jeff's and Sam Altman's stuff, and so I'm fully trained now in all AI. and they're talking about the next generation of AI coming in the next 18 months, which is going to dismiss some of the, large language models, because text and language is interesting, but of all human knowledge, it's a tiny proportion of the way we do things. So we're going to have to keep our eyes open for, taking advantage of what's in front of us, but also with an eye to this space is moving so quickly and the research is so powerfully funded now, that I think that what we're talking about now, in 18 months' time, will be like, yeah, that was interesting.
Yes.
But this new stuff is going to be to the point where we can give it prompts and we can define action with objectives, with guardrails, with privacy in place, and all that sort of stuff. So that's what I'm looking forward to. But I mean, the answer to the question is yes. It's perfect. We're in a really interesting place right now as a technology set.
Any question for the panel? Yeah. Just have maybe. Yeah, come on, maybe.
Okay, guys. So I just have a question. I was just wondering, in terms of the question Paul talks about, generative AI brings us closer to autonomous enterprise, or is it the autonomous enterprise bring us closer to the real use cases of generative AI, because it's the vice versa as well?
Tough question.
I would say it's both things, but I think the thing is, like, and for anybody that didn't hear, is it that generative brings us closer to the autonomous, or is it autonomous to generative? So I think the thing is, and it's kind of part of what I was saying before, most companies kind of don't have their house in order, and so their data is not unified, their automation's not unified, and so as long as you have that, generative can't reach its full potential, just like AI can't reach its full potential. So I think, incrementally, yes, generative will help, but if you don't kind of get those other areas in order, you're not going to get the full value. So,
if I may add, I think too, they're going to push each other as you continue through this, because we even talked earlier, and I forget who said it on the earlier panel, but this whole digital journey that everyone's on, I don't think it's ever going to really end.
Yeah.
I think we're going to continuously put a different marker to get to. So I do think they will be very intertwined, to Ken's point, and I think they're going to keep pushing it forward. And I really wish I remember who said it, because I would love to give him credit for it. But I think we're going to have to put mile markers in and make sure we do pause and celebrate, because I got to tell you, it's going to feel like a long journey as they keep pushing everything forward if we don't.
Of course, because thank you. I think Rath agree that to seemingly doing the generative AI DAS language models, I think putting in that autonomous enterprise in place is very, very important.
Yes.
But I think it's the chicken and egg.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yes. Yeah, I think we don't have time for more questions. I think they're being missed. And if you have any more questions during the break, please feel free to reach out to me or the panelists. More than happy to take this discussion further. Thank you a lot.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot for your super contribution. Thanks, everyone.